Okay, let's go over the potential participle. Let's use Antoine first. We're going to go over both of them. If we use Antoine's a little bit simpler to understand. So it's Antoine. Do you have the page under that? Let's just use this lesson 10. It's double-sided, so just... Okay, on the left-hand side, where it says number 98, 97.
Wrong
numbers. Oh, yeah.
Then it goes back to 98 again.
Yeah. Oh, well, Okay, what it's doing in these first parts, are just talking about, in the Panini Sutras, the use of it letters or anubandhas. And in the sutras, for some of you, you know, Penny's been exposed a little bit to the sutras. I don't know about you, Tara, or you, Virginia, a little bit. So, these affixes, and prefixes for that matter, but for the most part, affixes, especially verbal, nominal and verbal affixes and tedditos, they, in the Panini Sutras, they will take it letters that will be, or what's called anubandhas, that will be added to the affix to indicate whether or not, how you actually add the affix onto the root. Like, for instance, if there's a ka, anubandha, ka, it letter, it'll say, don't gunate. When you put it on the root, you don't give guna. If you add a na, I think that one will say, add riddhi to the ending vowel or to a, that type of thing. And so they're just giving you a slight introduction to these affixes, to the it letters, that go along with affixes that are added on to the roots. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. So I don't particularly want to bother with that right now because we're not focusing on Panini, but I just wanted to make sure that if you wanted to read this, you would understand what that is. So, but let's go ahead and just start with the potential participle. Number 98 on the second, on the right-hand side, where it says the participles. Now, the potential participle, it has five forms. Let me just talk about it for a minute. Five different ways of forming a potential participle. And you'll see this clearly as we read through these two texts. But just to give you a little overview, the one that's very common is tavya. There are three different ways. Another one that's very common is this ya. But there's going to be three different ways of adding ya onto a root. So you've got one tavya, three ways of adding ya, and then one very, a fifth one that is not very common, aniya. Okay, so tavya, three forms of ya, and aniya, that makes five. Okay. And some roots can take three or four different forms. In other words, one root could take both tavya and a ya affix and an aniya. Right, like karatavyam, karaniyam, karyam, right? So, and kritya, that's four different forms of tavya affix, of potential passive affixes. So when we read through this, we're going to see all of these different forms. And what I want you to understand is that a root can be formed in four or five of the different ways. Probably not all five, mm-hmm. but they're probably only sometimes there's, like for kriya, for instance, kriya will be, for the ya, it'll take two forms, karya, and kritya. Those are two ya mm-hmm. forms. It'll take karatavya, that's the tavya form. It'll take karaniyam, that's four. But it won't take one of the yas, it won't take. So you get used to all five. Mm-hmm. And actually, at this point, I don't even really remember all of the rules. I'm remembering the rules now because I'm teaching it to you. Mm-hmm. But after a while, you just recognize all of these different potential forms and they're pervasive to the language. So it's good for us to go over and read through it. So is that clear what I've said so far? Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's look on the page, at number 98 on the right-hand side, the participles, and we'll just read through and I'll explain little things as we read through. So the first, the five forms of the potential passive participle are formed by five primary suffixes called the kritya pratyaya. Okay, now, in Panini, many of these participle prefixes have names. And so the name for the potential passive participle is kritya. So the kritya, pratyaya. Pratyaya is the word for affects. The Panini term for an affix is pratyaya. So the kritya pratyaya is the term for the potential participle. Do you see that? Okay, the first and very common one is tavya, and I think, yeah, Penny, that's the one you just mentioned last week, right. Tavya, right? And that's very common. So, number one, tavya, before which a final vowel except a and a short medial vowel take guna. Okay, so shru, that should say shru with a short u in your book. Mine is the u is almost not there. Do you see it? Shru goes to shrotavya where the short u takes guna. So shru becomes shro plus tavya, shrotavya. And then being a participle, it, like all the other participles that are declinable, they're used as an adjective or as the verb in a sentence also, but it's going to be adjectival to whatever it's related to. And since this is passive, it'll be related to the karma, to the object. When we go through Goldman's text, he discusses that clearly. So let's look at op, ends in a consonant, no problem, not even any Sunday. Op, optavya. That which should be attained, ought to be attained, will be attained. It can even have a future definite sense. Remember I said that the potential, in the potential verbal form is sometimes like a future definite, but the potential participle is that also. Like, this will happen, this will be attained, it ought to be attained, it should be attained, it is to be attained. These are ways of translating the potential. They'll talk about that at the end here. Let's look at the next one. Chid, to cut. Chid, the da with a ta, is going to change to ta by Sunday. Chid takes guna, chaitavya. Do you see the Sandhi? Da becomes ta, chaitavya takes guna. Gum. Gum plus tavya, the makara will go to the nasal of the class, of the ta class. Gum becomes gun, guntavya. Please stop me if you don't see a Sandhi. These are just normal Sandhi rules. I want to make sure they're recognized. Note the following. Drish, drashtavya. If we were following like the past passive participle, or what you would expect if it were to take guna, would be darshtavya. But this is an exception. It's true in the tum endings also. It's drashtum. Right? It's not darshtum, it's drashtum. And so this is an exception, very common. You have to memorize it. Because the verb to see, you know.
Just a little insignificant, but concept
and didn't have to write. Now, look at va, bodhavya, and gra, grahitasya, and grahitavya. Let me give you a hint. If you have learned the infinitive of purpose, the tum endings, tavya acts exactly like a tum ending. So, for instance, it would be grahitum, grahitavya. Drashtum, drashtavya, right? Same with vodhum, vodhavya. Okay, so whatever changes, the infinitive of purpose goes through, the tavya affix will go through. And it's good to make a note of that because we have other affixes that end in, that begin in ta, like just the past passive participle, ta, you know, or the twa. But the tum affix will have some forms be handled in some different ways that the like the that the ta affix and the twa affix are not handled. Like for instance, it's drashtum, but drishta in the past passive participle and drishtwa in the infinitive of purpose. Drishta, drishtwa, but drashtum, drashtavya. Do you understand? So you get used to seeing drish in these forms as drishta darshaniya, or takes guna, drish becomes darshaniya, you know, drashtavya,
like that.
So even if you're not really sure exactly what the form is, you can still recognize what the
form is. Oh, absolutely. Because you're used to seeing drish as thrush or darsh.
Darsh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So va vodavya, gra grahitavya. Va is not as common in Vedanta. It comes, definitely comes, but gra comes all the time. Because gra, like grahanam and grahita, grahitavya, it means it's used, is seized, but it's also used in the sense of perception. That which is grasped, that which is understood, that which is seen or perceived. So it's a very, very common term. So you have to learn it. Okay, so those are just some examples of the tavya affects. We'll see more when we do the Goldman's book. Let's go to the second one that they have, aniya. Aniya is not very common, but there's some significant roots that come all the time, so you have to know it. Aniya, before which a final vowel and a short medial vowel take guna, just like the tavya. Okay? Smre, to remember. Smara takes guna. Smaraniya. And notice the change of the na, the dental na to na, that's because of the ra. Mm-hmm. Right? Really recognize that. So, smre, smaraniya. Same meaning. These five forms, there's not any variant or subtlety in change of meaning. They mean exactly the same thing. Smre, smaraniya. Drish. Now, here, instead of drashta, it's just take following the rules and taking guna. Darshaniya. Pooj. Poojaniya, long vowel, so there's no guna in pooj. Right? Final vowel and short medial vowel take guna. This is long vowel. Poojaniya. You learn this when you learn the gunas, the conjugations. Okay, so and this one is uncommon. Tavya, very common. And the yas, very common. Any questions on number two, Yaniya? Everybody okay? Let's go to the next page then. If you see, 3, 4, and 5 are the different three different forms of ya. If you look at the first three, it's nyet. Number four is yet. And number five is kyep. Do you see that? Three, nyet, yet, and kyep. Everything except the ya is an it letter. So you can kind of see how Panini is working. These it letters mean something different. So let's look at the first nyet. The suffix is reserved to roots ending in r or with a consonant. The anubandha, that's the it letter, na, orders the vriddhi of a final vowel and of a penultimate a. Just like in the tenth gana, what do you call this? Do you call it gana or conjugation signs? What's your word?
Class.
Okay, in the 10th class. Well, so we call it gana.
Uh-huh.
Gana.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the 10th gana, do you remember that the ending vowel takes vriddhi? And the penultimate a takes a takes vriddhi. Okay, so this is the same. Ta is also an anubandha, which he's not defining here because it must not be relevant. Okay.
So these are both. Na and takaras are both tags.
Tags, right. Exactly.
And so really what we're dealing with was ya, and then the tags are going to require different operations.
That's perfect, yeah. And the technical term for tag is anubandha.
Good.
Or it letter, right. But that's it. They're the tags that have little, that tell you different functions. Each tag has a little function. Here he's not telling us in yet. I'd have to look it up in the sutras. He's just saying it's an anubandha. So it's something that's not going to be necessary, apparently, for us in forming, or he doesn't want to get into it for some reason. So we know ending vowel takes vriddhi, penultimate a takes vriddhi. Krek, karya. Very common, right? Karyam. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just taught it in class last night. We just had that in the Bhagavad Gita they used. Karyam karma. Karma which is to be done. Karyam karma. Everybody see the vriddhi? Mm-hmm. What's the ya? Mm-hmm. Vach, shortha, vacha. comes in Vedanta all the time, that which is said is meant. That which is to be said, or that which is...
That which is meant.
Well, sometimes we say it like that, but that which ought to be said, is to be said, will be said, is the vācha.
Uh-huh.
And that which is the immediate... It's also a technical term, vācha. That which is the immediate meaning of a word is the vācha. Mm. So, vācharta. But use it as just is to be said, ought to be said, should be said, will be said. Vācha. So you see the vibhi? Chid is a short vowel, not a, so it only will take guna, okay? Chid, chedya. I don't think he says that here, but that's how it is, just like in the 10th guna. Chit, chedya. Any problem? Put, short a, patya. Has, short a, hasya. Sitch, any vowel except a, secha, takes guna. So I actually see these all of the time. Any problem?
No. So it's vokali, uda, or a consonant for this one.
For this one, it's any ending vowel. Yeah, and that's what you like. A root ending or with a consonant, other consonant or. He doesn't say the here. Though he should, I don't know why he doesn't. Oh, really have a final vowel and penultimate are there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Let's go on to four. Yet. Takara is a tag, an it letter. This suffix is reserved to roots ending with a vowel, to those ending with a labial, and to the two roots, shuk and sa. Shuk means to be able to, sa means to endure. Before yet, a final vowel takes guna, and a final a is changed to a. In fact, that's always going to be the case, as you'll see in Goldman, that a final a will change to a. So let's look. G to conquer. Jaya. Shru, put a short U under the Shra there. If you type a short U under the Shra, it should be Shru.
That happened in the book also?
Yeah. In mine it does.
Mine's okay.
Oh, is that?
Well,
mine?
That's okay on Shru, but not.
Yeah.
I don't think it changes correctly.
No, Shru should be Shravya.
Oh,
it should change to Shravya. When we go into Goldman's, he'll tell you. He'll talk a little bit about that. It should be Shravya. Shru should go to Shravya. It actually Shru goes to Shro, but then an O is going to be dealt with as though a vowel were being attached to it. So Shro will always become Shrav.
Okay.
Boo will become Bo, which will become Bov or Bov. We'll see that in the other book. He's more clear on it there. But this is correct. Shru becomes Shravya.
Okay.
Okay. Lub, Lubya. There's an example of a labial. Lub, Lubya. Mm-hmm. Pa, this is where the A becomes A. Pa, Peya. And that you have to memorize that, because actually when you see paya, it doesn't make you think of pa.
No,
it doesn't. So you have to memorize the a becomes a, paya. Shuk, shakya, that's fine, comes all the time. Sa, sahya, bearable, endurable. That which is to be endured. When we get the qualifications for the adhikari,
mm-hmm.
one of them is titiksha. The verb that goes with titiksha is sa, to endure. Titiksha means to be endured, to be able to bear the pairs of opposites. And Swamiji will always say, we don't mean endure in the negative sense, it means more accommodate.
Accommodate.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that this word, this verbal root sa, comes a lot. It's shuk, to be possible, to be able. He can do that, he is able to do that, he can do that. That's how shuk is used. It's usually used with an infinitive of purpose.
Be able to do something.
Yeah. Let's look at the
at the fifth one, kyap, so karanpa, the suffix is reserved to a few roots only. The anubandha ka debars all guna, like in ikta and iktwa for the past passive participle. Ikta, the infinite of a purpose, iktwa, that ka debars guna. So that ka debars all guna. The anubandha pa ordains the addition of ta to roots ending with a short vowel. Right? So I think in the, do you remember in the indeclinable past participle, if you add yup, I think it's called that yakara, if the root has a preposition,
right,
it'd be like gatwa, but adigamya.
Right.
Right. But if it was kri, it would be kritwa, but adikritya or ankritya. It takes a ta. If it's a short vowel, remember that? The ya will take become tya if it ends, if the root ends in a short vowel. Like kriya, kritya.
This is for gerunds.
Yeah, for gerunds. Anukritya, for gerunds, that's right. If it takes a preposition.
Right.
That it'll take ya, but if the verb ends in a short vowel, it'll take tya.
So it becomes tya instead of just
ya. Yeah. And so this is the, I'm just gerund. Making, this is the same here. Okay.
I don't think we distinguished between tia and ya ending. So we knew it was going to end in a ya if it was a prepositioned gerund.
It's actually
that
just
part we got, but I don't think we ever.
Do you have your Bhandarka? First book of Bhandarka.
Yeah.
Let's just open it up just so you get this firmly in your brain.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's see. What's that page that has all of the prepositions?
It's
the one that has all of the verb, all of the verbs that are made in the past participle.
Oh.
I usually have this page marked.
The second column, you should need something that says that.
Yeah, I never remember more.
I don't think we got into too much detail with the gerund.
When it had a preposition, it went to a instead of blah.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Oh dear. Oh, here, go to page 91. The top of 91.
Mm-hmm.
The indeclinable past participle, or absolutive, is formed by adding twa to the root, shru to hear, shru twa, having heard. Ya takes the place of twa when a preposition is prefixed to the root, anubhuya, having experienced. Ta is prefixed to the ya when the root ends in a short vowel, anukritya.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so you'll see this happening. That's why it's more general than just this.
Mm-hmm.
This is another example of that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, the anubandha ka debars al guna, the anubandha pa ordains the addition of ta to roots ending with a short vowel. That would be tya then. So let's look at the examples. Ya becomes itya. There's the ta. Stu, stutya. Bre, britya. Shas, shipya. Just memorization.
So there's no rhyme or reason on that one.
No.
Okay.
There'll just be a sutra that says shas becomes ship, you know. Really, honestly. You'll have like, it'll take three or four, maybe there's three or four other roots like shas, and it'll just list those roots and then tell what it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no general rule of this in this form. Dri becomes dritya, kri, kritya. Okay.
So that should be kritya. It doesn't have the...
Oh, yeah. Add the little ra there. Short rule. Kritya. It says this suffix is reserved for only a few roots, but a few of these roots are very common. E though I never see itya, but stu I see stitya. Britya I see a lot. Kritya all the time. So, you know, I would just read this over several times so that you just get the feel of it and know there's five different ways of forming the potential participle. Three of them, of those are yeah. So it's really tavya, ya, and aniya. Right? With three different ways of adding the ya. Now let's read this. The potential passive participle is used either impersonally in the neuter singular, like maya gantavyam. You know the bhavi prayoga? Familiar with bhavi prayoga?
Bhavi shudar.
Well, I am. Okay.
Yeah. Impersonal passive.
It's when there's no, it's not karmani.
Oh, okay.
It's not
country, yeah.
It's bhave.
Okay.
Where there's no subject mention.
Where it's an it that's referred to.
Right, exactly.
That's not there.
So that's what this is.
That's right. And it can be like intransitive verbs. Always will take bhave prayoga. Like if you say, I can say, I cried, but then I would have to say, because it's intransitive, it is cried by me. Or if I say the sun shines, shine is intransitive, so it is shown by the sun. In Sanskrit, we don't use that in English, you know, but they use it in Sanskrit all the time. So, and verbs of to go also don't take a real direct object, so they will take that body for yoga also. So here, maya gantavyam, it has to be gone by me. We say, I have to go. We're not going to say, you're not going to translate that. You should be able to translate it in the rough, crude English, but you're not going to use that as your translation. You'd have to put it back into the active, mm-hmm. since we don't use the Bhavi Prayoga in that way. You with me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So, maya gantavyam, it has to be gone to by me, I have to go. Or as an adjective qualifying a noun or pronoun, raja mantri bihi stutyaha, the king, should be praised by the minister, by the ministers. Or is to be praised, should be praised, ought to be praised, will be praised in the sense of definiteness.
Should use this in Congress.
Yeah.
The president.
Yeah.
Should be respected.
Absolutely. Now, I haven't seen this usage, but I've only seen it in edit title form here. The participle shakya, used as an adjective, either agrees with the noun it qualifies or remains in the neuter singular. I've never seen it used in the way he's saying it, in the first way I have. Te maya rakshitum shakyaha. Te shakyaha. They should be, ought to be, are able to be protected. Should, not able to be. Able to, they should be able to be, or they can be, able to be protected by me. Do you know when you see the tum in a genitive, in a passive construction? The tum won't take a passive construction, but it'll be translated passively. You know that? Like if I say, they should be able, because passive, shakyaha, te shakya, they should be able, then you have to say, to be protected by me. So you have to note that if tum occurs in a passive construction, you'll translate it passively. Okay. So te, they, shakyaha, should be able to be, or ought to be, able to be protected by me. They can be saved by me. That's good. Then the example he gives is te maya rakshitum. Raksh means things are saved. Raksh usually means just to protect. They maya by me rakshitum to protect shaktyam. So if I saw that, I wouldn't have a clue how to translate that. Te maya rakshitum shaktyam. They're using a bhave prayoga, even though they're using te. So. Just note it. Maybe you'll remember if you ever see come across it. I've never come across it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The potential passive participle conveys the meaning of obligation or fitness or of the future. Maya gantavyam. It must be gone to by me. I must go. Right? Etad darshaniyam. This is worth seeing. Toyat drashtavyam. By you, this is to be seen. You will see it. You will see that such and such is so.
This is a very ubiquitous form. So I'm kind of picking up from
it
you.
It is. It is. It's has several different ways of translating it, and it's all over the place, all the time. So you need to spend some time on it just so that you recognize it, you know. Mm-hmm. So far, so good with it?
Yeah, it's good.
Should we read through Goldman's?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be good to.
It's a little bit of an overkill, but sometimes that's true.
I think on this particular form, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's look at on page 266, 1616. The gerundive, not to be confused with the gerund of lesson 11, is yet another of those extremely useful verbal adjectives which we call participles. This particular participle is like the bhute credenta, or the karmani, or bhave application. Bhute credenta is the past passive participle of a karmani, that's the passive form, and bhave is the impersonal form. As it requires the karta, the subject of the action or state expressed by its verbal root, to be in the tritiya vibhakti in the third case. Mm-hmm. Are all these Sanskrit terms?
Yeah, these are, you know, karmani prayoga, where karchi is in tritiya, we know.
Okay.
Don't wait. Sometime you should show Carol, Virginia, your tree.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a beautiful tree with the three ways to use a PPP. There is a karmani, a strictly adjectival, or with the verbs of motion with and transitive.
Yeah.
It's a very lovely little graphic.
It helped us all get through that.
Good. That's nice. Now this is important, and I've talked a little bit about this in class, so make note. It is not uncommon, however, to find the karta, the subject, of a gerundive in the shashti, in the sixth case. This is not limited to this. You will see shashti being used in the sense of the tritiya.
Mm.
You know, that used to confuse me when I was reading. I was trying to kind of twist that genitive into a tritiya, meaning still using of. Okay. So the participle itself is when formed from the sakarmaka root, transitive verb, sakarmaka. It's a transitive verb.
Sakarmaka is transitive.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is in agreement with its karman, which is with the object. If I say the boy hit the ball is the object, ball is hit by the boy. Ball ought to be hit, should be hit, will be hit. Right? So it's going to agree with the object. In a with a transitive verb. Everybody knows what a transitive verb is?
Mm-hmm.
Virginia, you know, transitive verb?
I sort of do.
Let me just tell you real quick.
It's okay because I just get dyslexic about it, so it doesn't. I'll never remember it.
I'll tell you in two sentences, and then you can forget it.
Okay.
The transitive means that the verb takes an object, like I hit the ball. The verb actually acts upon an object.
Right.
That's a transitive verb. An intransitive verb is when the verb doesn't take an object, like the sun shines. It reflects back onto the sun. It can't be the sun shines something. It doesn't. Or if you say the girl smiles, there's no object. Or the boy cries or whatever. These are all intransitive verbs. And so when you take an intransitive verb, one that doesn't take an object, you can't easily put it in the passive. Because there's no object. Like if I say the boy hit the ball, it's easy to put in passive, the ball is hit by the boy.
Mm-hmm.
The girl sings the song is sung by the girl. Right? Because these are transitive. Mm-hmm. But if you take an intransitive, like the sun shines, you have to say it is shown by the sun. Mm-hmm. Right? That's intransitive because there's no object.
Right.
So the object is just it. Mm-hmm. Right? And we don't use that in English. So if in Sanskrit you're reading an intransitive verb, there's not going to be any karma, no object. The object is going to just be the it in the verb, so it shines. Mm-hmm. And so it shines by the sun, you would have to just say the sun shines, you know. Or, you know, it should be the boy is standing there. It is stood by the boy. The boy should stand there. Should stand there and wait to get his food or whatever. Okay. Then you should say, you'd have to say, it should be stood there by the boy in order to get his food. We don't say that. Mm-hmm. Okay? So transitive verbs take an object, intransitive verbs don't. The action of an intransitive verb, the action goes back onto the subject. Because right? The statement about what the subject is doing. Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so moreover, it is prescriptive. In that the form indicates that the vishesha, the thing modified of the educable form, this is, I read the sentence several times. I'll explain it to you if you haven't also read it several times. Moreover, it is prescriptive in that the form indicates that the vishesha, the thing modified of this adjectival form, is to be, should be, ought to be, the object where an object is possible of the action or state expressed by the verbal root. God, I can't believe they actually put this sentence in the book.
Sounds like more.
It's really awful. But let me just explain it. The vishesha is the thing that is going to, in a passive construction, the vishesha, the thing modified, is going to be the karma. So I say, he should hit the ball should be hit by him. So the thing modified is going to be the object. That's the vishesha. And it's going to be modified, that thing that's modified is going to take a passive potential participle. So just potential participle. Right? And that potential participle is going to say what that object should do, what should be done to it, what ought to be done, what will be done. So the ball, for instance, should be hit by the boy. It ought to be hit by the boy. It is meant to be hit by the boy. Okay. So this potential participle is adjectival to the karma, telling what should happen to that, what should be done to that karma, what should be done to that object. You see?
Mm-hmm.
That's all that sentence says. Its force is very similar to that of vidhi-ling, or the optative mood.
So that's why it's called potential.
Yeah, it's the potential participle, it's the optative participle.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at some of his examples are nice. He's not going to tell you how these are formed until the end, but we've already read Antoine to see how they're formed. So, brahmano na kenapi hantavya. What did you read? Brahmano
na.
Just read it. Brahmano, read after me. Brahmano nake napi hantavyaha.
Brahmano nake napi hantavyaha.
Brahmanaha, the Brahmana subject, nake napi hantavyaha. From han to kill. Hantavyaha. Brahmanaha hantavyaha. Brahmanaha na hantavyaha. A brahmana is not to be killed by anyone, kenapi. A brahmana should not be killed. It's considered the killing of a brahmana or a cow is considered to be a very bad papa. So the brahmana of the brahmana class should not be killed, kenapi, by anyone. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Should not be killed, ought not to be killed, must not be killed. These are all potential. Naryapi na kadapi hantavya.
Naryapi na kadapi hantavya.
Naryapi. Nari means a woman. Naryapi na kadapi hantavya. A woman also, nominative, api nari a, nari api, na kadapi hantavya. A woman also, na kadapi means never. Kadapi means sometimes, na kadapi never. Never is to be killed. You could say it's not to be killed at any time, but when you put a negative with a kadapi, it means an absolute no one, not at any time, never. A woman, not a, be a woman also, nakadapi, never, hantavya, feminine. Tavya in the feminine. Nadi, hantavya, nahantavya. Woman is never to be killed. A woman also is never to be killed. Ought never to be killed. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Ramena, read after me. Ramena, rajam, karaniyam.
Ramena, rajam, karaniyam.
Here Rajam is in the neuter, Ramena by Rama, Rajam, the kingdom, Karaniyam, right? The kingdom should be, literally should be done from Kriya, but remember that the root Kriya was going to take, going to be translated appropriately to whatever the noun, the subject is, or the object. So here the object is the object of Karaniyam, right? So the kingdom is to be ruled, should be ruled, ought to be ruled by Rama. Because you don't do a kingdom, you rule a kingdom, right? So you have to be flexible with Kriya. Everybody see it?
Mm-hmm.
Mahabharatam durvijnayam devaihi devairati.
Mahabharatam durvijnayam.
Repeat after me. Mahabharatam.
Mahabharatam.
Durvijnayam.
Durvijnayam.
Devaihi api.
Devaihi api.
Yeah, breaking the sandhi. The Mahabharata, okay, durvijnayam is difficult to understand. So nya becomes a. Remember, ending a. Roots that end in A all become A. So Nya becomes Nyaya. Durvijnaya.
What's the root for this?
Nya.
Nya,
to know.
Right.
Then
okay.
V means to understand, well, to see. Dur means difficult. So hard. It's hard to know, hard to understand. So the root is Nya becomes Nyayam, and Dur and V are upasargas, prepositions. So the Mahabharatam, neuter, subject, durvijnayam is difficult to understand. Devaihi api, even by the gods. Tanna. Okay. Vaktavyam na mantavyam api.
Na mantavyam api.
Tat na vaktavyam. That should not be said from vach. Vach plus ta will become ka vakta, vaktavyam. So, tat na vaktavyam. That should not be said. Na mantavyam api, not even thought from man. That should not be said, that should not even be thought. Everybody see it?
Mm-hmm.
Tat na. You're familiar with, this happens a lot in the PPP, past passive participle, where if you have a root ending in cha and cut followed by a ta, that cha will often change to ka. Sometimes it will change to a sha.
Mm-hmm.
But often it changes to ka. Mm-hmm. So vach here becomes vakta. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Vaktavyam. Na mantavyam. Okay.
It's kind of like when you have the vach as the consonant ending, the nominative standalone is vak.
That's right.
It's the same kind of
same thing. Same thing. That's right.
And some of those palatals go to the cup, and then some go to the cup,
sure,
to the cerebral.
That's right.
And those changes.
And it's not really clear why one goes to the guttural and one goes to the cerebral.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't follow you.
So when we did our consonant ending nouns that ended in
oh,
vowels,
yeah,
then the rule was that they would often go to cup,
as the final, and sometimes they would go to the cup. Mm-hmm. There wasn't really any rhyme or reason as to which they did, but Lex Thrudge and Vach would go to the cup.
Exactly. Who has Antoine?
I do
also.
Virginia, do you have that Antoine yet?
I didn't bring the first, though. I'll about the second.
Well, make a note and to look on, this is just a nice reference. Look on like page 86 and 87.
In one or two?
In one.
Oh, I don't have one.
Oh, you don't have one with you?
I don't
well, just you might make a note. I'll just pass that around. I like that, the way Antoine's done it, because he gives examples of all of these different changes. And you can get used to it. Get used to them, you know. Okay, that's just, it helps for the patterns. Okay.
We're just above A on the second.
Yeah, okay. Tanna Mamakaryam.
Are we supposed to be repeating?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Tanna Mama Karyam.
Mama.
Okay, here's the use of the genitive. Tanna, that is not. Karyam, to be done. That which ought to be done, is to be done, is karyam. That is not to be done. Not, see, that's what I would say, like, of me. That is not to be done of me. Yeah. But you have to realize it's used as a tritiya. But the shreshti is used as a tritiya often. Yeah, that is not to be done. Okay, you could. I keep trying to work with it, like trying to force a genitive, like for me. This is not something that can be done. But don't try to do that.
Okay.
Just let it be. Just let it be tritiya.
Okay.
That's the rule. Okay. It's very helpful if you remember that, because otherwise you want to make the one-to-one translation with the English, and then we can get very rigid about the use of the vibhaktis.
Mm-hmm.
I can, anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always working on breaking through that so that I'm actually saying in English what they're saying in Sanskrit. You know. All right, let's continue. How are we doing here? The gerundive is of akarmaka roots is a participle equivalent of the Bhave Prayoga. Akarmaka roots are intransitive verbs. So it's the same as the Bhave Prayoga, the impersonal passive. As such, its kartra, if expressed, must be in the tritiya or shashti, while the form itself, having no karma, no object with which to agree, must be in the pratama eka napumsaka linga. Everybody understand that? So, yeah. So, say if you're using a transitive verb, you say the sun should shine today. Okay, that's intransitive verb. Okay, you want to put it in the potential form using a participle. You would have to say it ought to be shown by the sun or of the sun today. Right, and so. There's no karma, there's no object, so the object is expressed in the verb by using the third person singular.
Okay. So just to kind of...
Neuter.
Just to kind of link it to what we've already learned, it's like saying sagataha in the PPP.
Yeah. He goes, or he went.
Or it goes by him.
Yeah.
No,
so that wouldn't be sagataha. It would be like tena gataha.
Yeah.
But they can say sagataha. They do. Also,
another little addition for that. Verbs of motion can be translated actively in the past passive participle.
Yeah, so you say he goes.
You say he goes or he went.
But this kind of a similar idea, what we're talking about here, where there isn't any karma. And so
that's right.
So what's understood is it.
That's right. Perfect.
It is shown by the...
Yes, that's right.
Right. So that's kind of it's a parallel construction to what we've been doing with the past passive participle.
Okay, good. So here's an example. Atra maya statavyam.
Atra maya statavyam.
Okay. It is to be stayed here by me. Sta. Sta plus tavyam. Statavyam. Atra maya statavyam. Okay. Here. Mm-hmm. By me. Statavyam. It is to be stayed.
Right. But then we put it in the active. Sort of my,
I have to stay here. Yeah, you're not going to speak in that strange way. Bhavatu maya gantavyam.
Bhavatu,
very well. So that's just an expression, bhavatu. Maya gantavyam. It is to be gone by me. I must go. Right? Gantavyam, it is to be gone. It ought to be gone. It must be gone. Maya by me. I must go.
This is very helpful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Na kasyapi gantavyam.
Na kasyapi gantavyam.
Sarvesham statavyam.
Sarvesham statavyam.
Not for anyone gantavyam is to go. No one is to go. It is not to be gone by anyone. It ought not to be gone by anyone. Using the genitive.
Mm-hmm.
No one is to leave. Right. So when you get these, you know, a good thing to do is whenever you get these bhave prayogas, is translate it awkwardly and then just immediately go into the active translation to see what it's saying. Don't try to make it work. I'm talking to myself. Sarvesham statavyam. It is to be stayed by everyone. Everyone must stay. Sta means to stay. Mm-hmm. To remain, to stand. Right? Sarvesham statavyam.
That's genitive also.
That's right.
Yeah.
The gerundive of the root bu is used idiomatically to indicate likelihood or probability. Here, as in other uses of the copula, you know, copula like asti is something that brings the noun together with the predicate nominative. It's called a copula. Is.
So forms of to be.
Yeah,
basically.
Forms of to be, yeah. Here, as in other uses of the copula, the subject must be in the same case as its predicates. The case here is tritiya, third case. Example for this and this thing he's saying. Tena, and I've probably seen this and didn't know how to translate it. Tena ragnya bhavitavyam.
Tena ragnya bhavitavyam.
By him, by the king, it ought to be. He must be the king. You see how Tena and Ragna are in the same form in the Tritiya?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's he and king in the Tritiya. So you would say, he is the king, but using the potential, he must be the king. And so when you put it in this type of form, Tena, Ragna, Bhavitavyam, it ought to be that he is the king. You have to memorize the construction. It's an idiomatic. Mm. But do you see... When they talk about copula, it's tena and ragna, right? Both are in the third case.
Mm-hmm.
By
so they're
him,
appositional.
They're in apposition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by him, by the king. Okay. But if you put it in the active, he must be the king. Mm-hmm. He must be. He ought to be. He should be the king. If you were to put this in the active. The form Bhavitavyam by itself is frequently used in conversation and dramatic dialogue in the sense of very likely, probably, undoubtedly. Goldman, I went to Cal many years ago, and Goldman was one of my instructors, and they had a little Sanskrit group, and they would walk around talking Sanskrit all the time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they'd say, oh, Bhavitavyam, Bhavitavyam. Thank you. It's funny. Okay, we're making some headway here. Let's just keep going. Do you guys mind? It's 11 o'clock. We can stop anytime.
This is very helpful.
No, it's really very helpful.
Okay, good. We'll just keep going. The gerundive, because of its prescriptive nature, prescriptive means ought to, should, do, you know, you must. That's what they mean by you prescribe an action. You have to do this. You must do this. It ought to be done by you. It should be done by you. The gerundive, because of its prescriptive nature, can be used as a polite imperative with a tritiya form of one of the second person pronouns expressed or implied. Agantavyam, come. So if I were to say, tvaya, it is to be come by you. So it's agantavyam, come.
So that's optional.
You probably wouldn't use the second person. You can, but. But just agantavyam, just come.
Huh.
It should be come.
It's an alternate way of saying that.
Yeah.
So it's softer? Is that the implication, that this is a softer way of using imperative? It's a little more...
I don't know. To me, I wouldn't have said that. I would say it's more commanding. Like agantavyam, come.
Okay.
Yeah. Because of the potential, it's more commanding than the imperative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imperative to me is, you know, please come, may you come, come. But... potential is more of a command.
Because it's more prescriptive?
Yeah, yeah, that's why. You ought to come, you should come, agantavyam, come. But I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I've just taken
that. I'm just saying that because they use the word polite imperative. So that's what
you
think, that it was maybe softer.
Yeah, I don't know. Could be. I'm not sure. Gantavyam yadi nama nishchitam.
Gantavyam.
Nishchitam.
Nishchitam.
Go if you have made up your mind. Gantavyam, go. That's using this polite imperative. Gantavyam. Yadi
polite. In that case.
Get out. Nicely get out. Okay. Now go. Gantavyam. Yadi if nama, if indeed. Nama just doesn't mean name there. It just means if indeed. Emphasis like Eva. Yadi nama. Nishchitam, it is decided. He says, translate, if you've made up your mind. Nishchitam means it is firm, it is clear, it is decided. It's a past passive participle. So he's just giving you some dialect, you know, some...
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're reading the Ramayana or the Mahabharata, where you get real living speech. So this would be one of those examples.
Mm-hmm.
Na bhetavyam, na bhetavyam.
Na bhetavyam, na bhetavyam.
Mayiha tishtati.
Mayiha tishtati.
Na kopi.
Na kopi.
Bayam anubhavatu.
Bayam anubhavatu.
Na bhetavyam, na bhetavyam.
Na bhetavyam, na
bhetavyam. From to fear, takes guna. It is not to be feared, it is not to be feared. So don't fear, don't fear. He's using the same polite imperative.
Mm-hmm.
Be, with a long E, means to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Be takes guna, nabhetavya, nabhetavyam, put in the, like Bhavi Prayoga, put in the neuter. Nabhetavyam, nabhetavyam. Mayi iha tishtati. This is a locative absolute in the present. While I am standing, mayi is I, in me, it's locative singular, tishtati is locative singular of a present participle. So, while I am standing here. Tishtati looks just like the third person singular, right?
Yeah, it
does. It does. And that is true. Like gachati,
mm-hmm.
tishtati, these can all be locative singulars of the present participle.
Wow.
Yeah. So you have to, when that mayi, when you see it with together with a locative, you have to think, oh, this could be a present participle. Just have to note that in your mind. This thing that looks exactly like a third person singular could be a present participle.
Okay.
So here it is. It's a present participle in the locative. Mayi
locative for a present active participle or a present participle?
present active participle. Like while walking,
right.
While singing, I walk you.
Right.
So here, mayi, iha here, tishkati, while I am standing here. Nakopi, bayam, anubhavati, no one, nakopi. Fear, bayam, accusative singular, anubhavati, let no one, imperative, third person singular, nakopi, anubhavati, let no one experience fear. While I am here, while I'm standing here, let no one experience fear. You know, kopi means anyone, you negate an indefinite article and it becomes an absolute. Kopi, anyone, nekopi, no one. Kadapi, sometimes, nekadapi, never. Okay. So let no one, so locative third person singular, mean imperative third person singular, let no one experience by any fear. Yet yet virtute tad grahyam.
Yet yet virtute tad grahyam.
Yet grahyam. Tad grahyam.
Grahyam.
Yet yenna rochate tet kyajyam.
Yet yenna rochate tet
kyajyam. Yet, whatever. If you reduplicate, if you duplicate yet and tet, it means yet would mean that which. And yet, whichever, whatever thing. Yet, rochate, whatever is pleasing. The object, the one who is pleased would be put in dative. They're not putting it here, but whatever thing is pleasing in dative would be to you, to bhyam. Whatever is pleasing to you, parents. Tet grahim, take that, make grahim. That should be seized. That should be received by you. Grahim comes from grah. Grahim means to take, to seize, to grasp. How does he translate it? Grahim.
Take.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. So whatever. How does he say? Take what you like. Okay. Whatever, literally, yet, whatever rochate is pleasing to you. And the rochate goes to the yet, as the third person singular verb, back to the yet. And the two, whatever, he says, take what you like. That you is going to be, if it were in there, it would be in the dative. So literally, it's whatever rochate is pleasing, parents, to you. Ted, that, grahim. That should be taken. Okay. Or take that as a polite imperative. Okay. He's using it as polite imperative. Take that. See it? Mm-hmm. Then, yed na, rochate, whatever is not pleasing. Tat tyajyam, mm-hmm. Abandon that.
Yeah.
Leave it. Comes from tyaj. The tyaj takes a long ah, becomes tyaj with the ya. So, I mean, it's just one of the ways that this ya, one of the three ways of grahim from gra, tyajim from tyaj. So, it's kind of interesting too. These are the things that can trip you up when you're reading because you don't know it's kind of idiomatic. It doesn't. You have to learn it. You don't just automatically translate it that way unless you know it. Let's go to 16:18. Gerunds, like other adjectives, may sometimes become nouns. It's very common for kriya. Kriya becomes karyam, which we saw earlier. That which is to be done, a karya karma, yeah. A duty is a karyam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pa, payam. Payam is a potential participle, what is to be drunk. You can just need a drink. This is payam.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. This is something which is to be drunk, which is a name for a drink, right? Why don't we take a little stand-up break and then
sure.
Go through the might as well go through these.
But this is great. Really clarifying.
Yeah. It's worth the time because it's so
confusing.
I know, and it's so pervasive. It's so such an important part of
this. Was
Okay, 16 and 19, the formation of the gerundive. We've been through this, but let's just read it. The gerundive may be formed from most roots by the addition of one of the following three suffixes, ya, tavya, and ya. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's a little, in some ways not as thorough, in some ways more thorough. The rules for treatment of roots before these suffixes are as follows. The suffix ya. The rules for the treatment of root vowels before ya are complex and unusually for Sanskrit allows a good deal of freedom. Root something vowels. Root final vowels.
Right.
Root final vowels. A. Final a always becomes a. Nya, nyeya, pa, peya. Before ya, okay. Final vowels other than a are treated variously. They may be changed subject to guna or less commonly to vriddhi. In some cases, the same root may show optionally any of these alternatives.
That's what you were saying, then.
Mm-hmm. If the vowel is subject to guna or vriddhi, then the strengthened vowel may be a or I and must be o or au if treated as though it is to be treated as though it is preceded by a vowel. I mentioned this, but let's look at it. A can go to A, right? If something takes guna or vriddhi, if something takes guna, A will stay as A or it'll go to I. I will stay as I or it will go to I. O will always go to of and au will always go to of. So that means, what that means is if an u takes guna, the u will go to o and then it must change to of.
That's kind of like what happens
like
in bhavya, class one.
Bhavya.
When you're doing who to get to the anga.
But the difference is, in a class one, bu becomes bo,
mm-hmm.
and then you add the guna sign, the
mm-hmm.
class sign,
mm-hmm.
And then you have a regular sandhi, where you've
right.
got o plus is bhava.
Right.
But here, even if you're adding a ya, if you're adding a ya, it still becomes of.
I see.
You see what I mean? So there's no real sandhi there, except that you have to know this rule.
Okay.
So let's go over the rule again. If guna or vriddhi is enjoined for E, E will become A or I. Right? If guna is enjoined, E will become A. If vriddhi is enjoined, it will become I. The A or the I will optionally go to I or I. So you'll have either one of those two forms is okay. But if you've got an U that is enjoined guna or vriddhi, it will go to O, and that O becomes of, and au becomes of, and it's not an option.
It's not optional. Okay.
Yeah. So now we get some examples. Example, J becomes Jaya, see the double ya, because the A can, G can become Jaya,
mm-hmm.
just take the A, or the A becomes I plus the ya, Jaya. So that explains to me, I've seen this before, this double ya. Now I understand why it's there. It's because the E takes guna can become A or I, and then it takes the ya affix, so you get a double ya. J, jaya, jaya or jaya. Whereas bu, no secondary form, bhavya. The u has to become of if it takes guna, and it has to become of if it takes vriddhi. Bhavya, bhavya. Is it clear?
Mm-hmm. So it can't be Bovia.
It can't be Boya.
Boya.
Or Bowya. Sounds funny too.
Yeah.
Right? So Bhavya or Bhavya. So this is important. This you'll see a lot. It's important to note this. If a final short vowel is not strengthened, then that's guna vriddhi. If a final vowel is not strengthened, then the consonant ta often intervenes between the vowel and the suffix. Ji, jitya, kritya. You notice he's explaining this without the use of the Panini Sutras
right.
or the it letters.
Right.
And so he's just kind of giving generalities. In these cases, this can happen. Okay. So he doesn't divide the into these three different groups according to the it letters. Okay. So G, Jitya, Kritya. Everybody clear on that?
Mm-hmm.
Root medial vowels. Medial A is unchanged in some roots and lengthened in others. Gum, Gamya, Thyaj, Thyajya. Because it'll be a different yakara that's being added there.
Is there a rhyme or reason?
No, there is. It'll be because there's three, if you know Panini, there's rhyme or reason. Because there's three different, yes, they have different anubandhas, different tags. And so Tyaj is going to take a different.
Oh, because it's ending with a. Gum is ending with a labial. Is that why? And Tyaj is just ending with a consonant?
Well, I don't know by heart. I'm giving class, but I'll call you back when I'm done. Okay. Oh, look at number three. Vach becomes Vacha. Must be that one. Tyaj would become Tyacha. Nyet. This suffix is reserved to roots ending with R or with a consonant. The anubandha na orders the vritti of a final vowel and of a penultimate A. And so this one just probably falls within this particular Nyet affix. Okay. But, you know, you don't really need to know
right.
that. It's nice. It makes some sense out of it. Not essential. Okay, so let's go to the last page here. Other examples. Kri. What's this? Oh, in the wrong place. Okay.
Are we on 270?
270.
Okay.
Dwish becomes Dwesha, Guna. Yud, Yodhya, Guna. Gu, Guhya. Some roots are subject to Guna and others not. Don't worry about the vagueness of these rules. You will come to recognize the common forms with practice, which is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's why I think it's good for you to study Antoine and this one. Because with Antoine, you kind of get a sense of these it letters, the anubandhas, and it does give you a little bit of understanding, not that you have to memorize it. But suffix tavya, this extremely common suffix is added in each case to the stem that precedes the tomb of the infinitive. What he's saying here is that the stem goes through exactly the same changes as the tomb stem goes through, yeah. The infinitive of purpose. That's really helpful. Or the agents of suffix tria, like kartra. That, I wouldn't bother with that. Just use the thick tomb. Yeah. Bu, bhavitavyam. Kri, kartavya. Vach, vartavya. Actually, repeat after me. Bhu bhavitavya.
Bhu bhavitavya.
Kri kartavya.
Kri kartavya.
Vach vaktavya.
Vach vaktavya.
Man mantavya.
Man mantavya.
Gam gantavya.
Gam gantavya.
Pat patitavya.
Pat patitavya.
Da datavya.
Da datavya.
Bhuj. Bhoktavya.
Bhuj Bhoktavya.
So, any problems with any of these? It says, the suffix aniya. In general, root vowels are subject to guna before the suffix, which is rather less common than the other two. Kri karaniya.
Kri karaniya.
Gam gamaniya.
Gam gamaniya.
Raksh rakshaniya.
Rakshaniya.
It actually looks like we call the gerund means going, the verbal action root, like going, coming, running, you know, as a verb. Mm-hmm. Looks the same with the ia. So, karaniya, gamaniya, rakshaniya. Many roots, especially those ending in long a, do not form gerundives with this suffix. 620. The difference of suffix does not change the meaning or use of the form. As can be seen from the above, one root may have several gerundives because of the three suffixes and the variety of forms possible before the suffix. On suffixes, and in any case, particular forms are ok. On suffixes, and in any case, particular form. What does that mean?
No idea.
Any case, particular form.
I think in any case. Particular forms are often,
just like he's saying, in any case.
And in any case, particular forms are often preferred. Oh, particular forms. I see what you mean. What he means. Yeah, like, let's look at the first one. Repeat after me. Kritya, karya, kartavya, karaniya.
Kritya, karya,
kartavya, karaniya.
Kritya, karya, kartavya, karaniya.
Now here, like, what he's saying is that there's certain ones that come all the time. Karya comes all the time. Kartavya comes all the time. I've never seen or rarely seen karaniya. I've seen kritya. So what he's saying is some of these are more popularly used for a given word, for a given root. There's some forms that are used more often than other forms. Jitya. Jaya.
Jaya.
Jaitavya.
Jaitavya.
I've seen Jitya and Jaya, the first two, not the other two. Not that they're not there, but in my reading. Bhu Bhavya.
Bhu Bhavya.
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 Bhavitavya.
Bhavitavya.
I've never seen Bhavya that I recall. I've seen Bhavya often and Bhavitavya. So that's all he's talking about. Some are, have more water, more popular than others. Roots which only occur in the present system, Pash and Bru, for example, do not form gerunds or other non-present participles. What he means, like, Pash is actually comes off of Drish. Mm-hmm. But you can see, you can have a present participle, present active participle off of Pash, like Pashati, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, you can't have other things like a past passive participle or an indefinable past participle. And same with Bru. You know, you can use the present participle, but nothing else after these forms. Mm-hmm. So, what shall we do now in terms of what do you want to do? I would probably read these over a couple of times,
yeah.
Just to kind of solidify what we've done in class.
Yes, yeah, really helpful.
Yeah. And then let's see how far you did get in the sentences, and we'll take a see what more we should do here.
In terms of parsing?
See, we started on, you should have done, starting on 143, Nibitaha Maranat Asmi.
Yeah.
I still think that it will take, I believe it would take the whole class to get down to the indent.
Let's see
what that is. But if you want to go all the way down to this line, you can. I'm just wondering realistically how much we'll be able to do.
So, which indent?
This indented little stotra here. Vipadi Dairyam Asa.
Oh, Vipadi. Okay.
Yeah. If you look, starting on page 143 with Nabitaha.
Yeah.
How, you tell me, how far do you think you...
I got all the way up down to Asti.
To Asti?
Yeah, the beginning of the
wow.
story.
You did a lot. I got down to Mahatha, which is up towards the top. It's my number 19.
All right. Then, you know, if Penny was able to get to that line,
uh-huh.
and you guys have already done some of it,
yeah.
try to get to that line.
Okay.
You know, try to get to Asti. Because if you can get to Asti, there we might be able to finish in two. I think it's more likely three.
Depends on how long it takes to go through the sentences.
Yeah. Some of the sentences are a little obscure.
The parsing, well, there were some places where the parsing was hard, but as always, it's in translation.
That's what I mean.
The translation was
I had trouble.
A little obscure.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really...
I translated a single one of them, really. But if I have, I mean, holy, but if I have another week, you know, since I've parsed them all, I can go back and think about them more.
You have to think about it. What they, I did. Yeah, what in the heck were they trying to say here? So let's try to do that and know that we'll take up to three times on this, but we'll just see how we do.
Okay.
All right, let's share our prayer.
Great.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha. Hari Om.